This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Good team on paper on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, you sexy people, and welcome to Good Team on Paper, where we utilise the values and scoring systems of Fantasy Premier League, but we haven't even bothered to ask them if that's okay. The jokes, impressions and advice are all bad, so should in no way be taken seriously. If you're fond of Johnny Evans or Jordan Henderson, you may find all of our content offensive. If you are offended by anything in the programme, please feel free to email us at itakelifetooseriously@fubarradio.com. Details of the Good Team on Paper team are available online somewhere, and remember, in football, it's not about the winning. It's about the shitty haircuts and excessive tattoos.
Undoubtedly, the greatest team the nation has ever seen. From a yard out, he couldn't hit a barn door with a banjo.
That was as clear as dark. The goalkeeper hoping to get on the end of it. And a goal! He watched the ball all the way onto his forehead.
Who should know by now to try and keep his mouth shut if he's not happy with the referee.
What a story they are! Because it's that man's goal that separates the two sides.
You have my permission to scream.
Good team on paper on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome to Good Team on Paper, the show all about fantasy football. Hello, I am Mike. I am the producer of this show, and I know nothing about football. I am surrounded by three lovely gentlemen, two of which are wearing shirts tonight. Why, guys?
Because we thought it'd make this quite formal. You know, we had a great show last week. We thought we'd take it up a notch.
Whereas I've gone topless.
Don't worry, I'm a savage.
I am bottomless. It's absolutely fine.
like Donald Duck.
Yes,
he always wore a top.
Or
never
Winnie
bottoms.
The Pooh. And I always think it accentuates his nudity.
Yeah,
draws attention more to it.
Well, somewhere we've all got a picture of us when we were like not together, but as like. 4 years old, running around in the garden with a t-shirt with your little willy out.
I've got a picture of you doing that.
Yeah.
Pair of binoculars.
I shouldn't have posted it around. But, yeah, everyone's got a photo like that. And I think that was inspired by Winnie the Pooh. Dave J. Long has just invited me to Dave J. Long's event, free entry, live comedy.
Someone has left their Facebook
on. Someone's left their Facebook on. I'm going to fuck that shit up.
So is anyway, that live welcome. Interaction on social now based on this random person's Facebook account?
Yeah. Dear Dave, don't want to come to your fucking comedy night.
If we could actually get that person to post things to us, then we could answer that question. That'd be the most interaction we've ever had on this show.
Anyway, this is Good Team on Paper here on FUBAR Radio. As we said, we are live. You can join us by tweeting us at GTO Paper. At FUBAR FC. Using the hashtag GTO Paper. You can email us, goodteam@fubarradio.com. But before you do any of that, let me introduce my fabulous managers in the studio who've basically been sitting around on the arse all week because there have been no games on. Is that right?
Yeah, as opposed to other weeks where we're actively jumping around.
Yeah.
Scout every single player every week.
Football, I love it.
Rob, our football know-it-all. Deg, our highly esteemed manager. And Bando, our statistician.
Statistician.
Anyway.
Steezy feet.
Yeah, there's plenty to talk about. Rob also turned 40 at the weekend, so I'm sure we're going to be digging up some stories about that. And also later on, Gerrard versus Lampard. We've been talking about it for a while.
That'd be good.
It's going to happen in the second half of the show. So
you're 40, Rob. That's going to ruin our relatability to our 1634 demographic.
Well, I like to think of myself as 29 for the 11th time.
Nice.
So that puts me in my prime as a striker or just coming into my prime as a centre-half. Unfortunately, I was bad at both of those. and I was quite bad at being 29.
You could be.
I've always been 40, really.
You could be a rather large reserve goalkeeper for a non-league team.
You should be. You could. That is an achievable goal.
Yes.
5 more years.
But thing is, I'm kind of scared of how hard the ball hurts your hand. You know when someone shoots really, really hard, and I also don't like landing particularly. You know when you dive to save and then you go crashing down onto your ribs. Don't like that.
Don't like that.
I think my best position for football is sofa.
Yeah, be good.
Great position.
And
great
on
position.
That note, I think it's a perfect time to talk about
news from the wider world of football.
Because in a not obvious segue, if we were talking about
non-league reserve goalkeepers who are a little bit overweight. Mm-hmm. If only there was some kind of topical story of the last 24 hours that we could talk about.
Strange that you ask, Bundan.
What? There's what?
I think there is.
Oh, my God.
I bloody think there is, mate.
Really?
I bloody think there is.
Oh, my God. No wonder we put on these shirts. So, Sutton reserve goalkeeper.
Love that guy.
Has been suspended.
You couldn't even find his name.
What's his name? Google it. Ali, shout. Shout his name.
I imagine he's changed it to William Hill at the instigation of another betting show.
So he's been suspended for eating a pie because...
He's resigned now.
Has he resigned?
Yeah,
he's not been resigned. Forced out.
Wayne Shaw.
So there were odds going round that it was 8-1 that he would eat a pie on camera. So there's been a betting probe because obviously he's found that out and he's put a tenner on himself. He's gone up to the old pucker pies and he's had a chicken.
I'm not sure he's been kind of accused of putting a tenner on himself. I think he's just been accused of knowing that.
I'd like to hope he put a grand on himself.
Yeah.
Because if your entire outlay is a grand that you're going to get eight back for and £3 for a pie.
£3
you
for
do
a pie?
That shit.
It's £3.40 at the London Stadium.
Yeah, this is non-league.
They're a quality pie.
If you've had a pie at Sutton over the past couple of weeks,
what was it like? Do tell us, because Matt will want to know.
Yeah,
but I think there are an unending amount of issues going on here, and none of them put the FA in a particularly good light. Because, firstly, he ate the pie after it was impossible for him to affect the game in any way, shape, or form.
In that Sutton have played three...
They played
all their substitutes, so there was no way that he was going to be able to go.
The pie had no influence on the result.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, no, but had they only had two subs on and he'd done it, then you could realistically say, during a normal match situation, you wouldn't have done that.
Had the pie been an extraordinarily talented pie, a sort of Lionel Messi of the pie world, and had a genuine possibility
Andre
of
Pilo.
Playing... Sort of
Due to a player registration error, the pie wasn't on the official team sheet and couldn't be considered.
Do you know what pie it was?
Great question.
No, if anybody knows the pie, or is that pie...
Fake news. Yeah. We're not getting enough of it.
But please, pie, tweet us.
Chicken and mushroom debate.
Somebody set up a Twitter account called Sutton Pie and start email in. Sorry.
Je ne regrette rien.
It wasn't a Rian pie. I don't even know what that is.
Rian pie?
Yeah. I think it's Rihanna in a pie.
Really?
I don't know. Why not? It's her birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Rihanna.
If you want to tweet in, Rihanna, and tell us your favourite pie.
Yeah.
Then Rihanna's pie could be a new feature.
Steak and
this
ale.
Week. Yeah, steak and ale.
I think she strikes me as a kidney girl.
Does she?
Really? Mm.
Yeah, I think she'd like a bit of kidney.
No steak, anyway. Just kidney?
Yeah. Oh. No, of course steak and kidney. You can't have steak.
Pick out
you
the steak.
You can't have kidney without the steak. Anyway, point is, going back, that what he did had no effect on the match. Therefore, it has no effect on football betting regulations. He wasn't betting on the outcome of the match. It wasn't like it was a Wayne to eat a pie and Sutton to lose 2-0. It wasn't anything that had anything to do with the match whatsoever. It was what he was doing personally. Secondly, they can't prove that he did it in order to affect betting.
He didn't know that it was happening, though.
Yeah, he's actually had a quote saying, "I heard that it was happening and I thought it would be a bit of banter."
Well,
which is actually an excuse that's been used for quite a lot.
It is. It's the biggest day of the fucker's life and the FA have gone and ruined it with their pettiness.
Look, that pie has got some great days to come. I don't think we can say that was the greatest day.
Well, I think it's got a trip out to the Thames Estuary in its immediate future.
We don't know what happened to the rest of the pie. It could have been just a glancing blow.
Via the London sewage system.
I do like how this story started off as it was just some guy eating a pie on the bench to then... There was a bet involved, and then it got a bit further. It's just like, it started off as, he's It's a goalkeeper. He's eating up high on a bench.
Yeah.
Why is
Isn't
he doing
he
that?
Why is he playing football?
But let's
Watergate all over again, mate. They'll keep drip feeding it through.
Yeah. Shall we have a quick look at the FA's investigation into Alex Ferguson's repeated tapping up of other teams' players?
You're obsessed with
this. Does it involve pies, mate?
Yeah, you're obsessed with this.
No, but that was that report and the investigation ran to, what was it, zero pages? Or to the bongs that clearly almost every manager in the 90s
allegedly as all balls.
They were rife.
Are we also going to go through in great detail my in-depth review of every pie in the non-league and Premier League system?
No, but where is the FA's review of the Harry Redknapp managerial situation where he allegedly was getting kickbacks on players' wages, and that's why he kept signing them, allegedly?
Where's the
investigation into shit that actually matters? There isn't one, because they're so scared of the Premier League and their billions that they don't bother. They'd rather ruin the best bloody month of a guy's life. Big Fat Wayne is sat at home sobbing into a big bucket of bacon.
They don't call him that. Money, potentially.
Are you suggesting that the pie's been made a scapegoat?
Was it a curry goat?
We've peaked.
There's no such thing as goat pie.
You're crazy.
No, I genuinely...
I've been to the Notting Hill Carnival.
It has really genuinely pissed me off.
But it's not that it's to do with football. It's the fact that there must be a rule that says if you can directly do something that you can bet on, then you can't be involved with it. Like, I could put... If I went down to Coral now and I said, I bet... I want the odds on Matt Bundy drinking a Strongbow cider on his radio show, which would be they might take that bet because I wasn't drinking last week. Mm-hmm. They might go 50-50 on it, but I can then do it themselves. Isn't there a rule about that?
There are laws regulating that, but what there aren't laws regulating are your mates saying, go on, eat a pie, and you not commenting on that, them all going down the bookies, sticking 50 and 50-50 on it, and you going, this'll be a laugh, and my mates will make some money. Here's a pie down my face.
Yeah.
And do you know what? As well, on top of all this, it's the Sun who did the bet. It's the Sun's online bookmaking thing. So it's only fucking Rupert Murdoch who lost.
What do you mean? So they
So this is something to celebrate.
Is he famous for eating pies then? So they put it up. Yeah.
So he's a large
fat
guy. Yeah.
So it's like Neville.
He's called the roly-poly goalkeeper.
Roly-poly goalie, I think, is his name.
Roly-poly goalie! Yeah. That's a great Twitter handle.
That is. And he's the goalie that ate Neville Southall. So...
rest in peace, Neville.
But no, I mean fair play. He is playing at a higher standard of football than we ever will.
That's true.
Or ever have. And I could beat him in a 100-metre race, and I can't say that about many living people.
It's like, I mean, there've been some other big goalkeepers who say Neville Southall mainly when he retired, but Brian Jensen for Burnley, the Beast, as they used to go every time he used to take a kick, he'd go, Beast!
The Beast of Burnley.
Yeah, and he was a big lad. I'd imagine that Adi Akinfenwa has probably been called to play in goal if the goalkeeper's injured, just so he can block out half of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that I don't know with it. As you say, it's not a causal relationship. We don't know that he knew there were odds on it to do a bet. He basically said, somebody came up to him and went, I'll be a bit of banter if you're a big lad, have a pie. And he went, yeah, I'll be a bit of banter. Like when they said, do you smash it?
But well done on ruining his week.
Because I'm not sure that's the point. I think the point might be that this is Sutton's biggest game for the last 50 years, and the whole team actually did really well. Right, they've put in a good shift. They didn't disgrace themselves. They kept the team spirit together, and they didn't get absolutely hammered. And then you get all of the attention onto the substitute keeper, who's done something that is funny and that I think is great, but it's also funny if you go to the pub with your mates. It's not necessarily funny if what you're trying to say is we're Sutton, we're actually a team that want to be seen as a professional football team. Like, you would never see a Premier League team ever doing that, and that person would be instantly fired. And I completely understand.
Robbie Fowler sniffed a sideline.
That's a fair point, but I don't know that there was any betting involved in the likelihood of him taking cocaine.
That wasn't a causal relationship.
Oh, well, no. If you want to go to where betting was involved, Hans Seegers, Bruce Grobbelaar, John Fashanu.
I don't know enough about those.
We can spend the next 40 minutes going.
And the spot betting on first throw-in.
But were they... I suppose my point would be that none of those teams... Grobbelaar playing for Liverpool. Liverpool's reputation wasn't necessarily based on that team or Grobbelaar, on that match or Grobbelaar. Whereas the one thing that Sutton United, and all respect due to Sutton United fans, are going to be remembered for over the next 3 or 4 years is probably Wayne Shaw eating a pie, not them getting a long way into the FA Cup and doing a very, very good job and really actually playing very well against one of the best teams in the country. That's the alternate view. I think it's ace that he did it and it's ridiculous and over the top.
I think we should start a campaign now. It's got to be hashtag Save Shaw.
And the pie.
Save Shaw and pie. That could be it. Maybe it's an ampersand. Can you do that on the Twitter handle?
Yes.
Can you do it on hashtag?
No. I don't know.
If you know, tweet us.
Yeah. With Save Shaw and pie, or Save Shaw ampersand pie, depending on your findings.
All right. I've got one more thing to add to this.
Right.
Has the director at the BBC, the person who was directing the footage at the BBC, also been suspended from his job?
That's very fair.
Hang on, no, because he was doing it. If you watch the footage, he came off of the bench and he did it in a way that's super obvious. We're now watching the footage and you can see him basically drawing attention to himself, and they're occasionally cutting to him as a director.
Well, yeah, but we don't know that the director didn't put £10,000 on it.
That's true.
That's absolutely true, but he didn't have an ability to directly influence it. All he could do is show that it was happening.
Yeah, but he also could not show that it was happening. So he could have done what he was there to do, which was show the game happening.
So we're going for hashtag sack BBC, hashtag save pie.
For what it's worth, I love the BBC and the director did the absolutely right thing. But if we're going to go throwing accusations around willy-nilly, then why not throw them around everywhere? Was the guy who gave him the pie in on it? I mean, is there...
Did Wayne Shaw kill JFK?
It's a massive conspiracy.
How deep does this conspiracy go?
Are they the entire Pucker Corporation responsible?
What's in the pies in the first place?
He was given the pie by a Swedish immigrant.
What about the cow?
What we need to do...
A Russian whore pissed on this Swedish immigrant pie and shoved
definitely.
It in his face.
That is definite.
Right. Okay, we're going to stop this now. And then we're going to say Jack Bauer is on the case. That's fine. And this also happened to be
the most significant moment of the season so far.
It is.
Because it is.
Relating to pies.
Yeah, pies.
But also...
I want to move on to another thing on the FA Cup.
Just before you do, hats off to the entire way the Arsenal team conducted themselves. Yesterday.
Definitely.
Better than Arsene Wenger. Bayern Munich.
Arsene Wenger, but Arsene Wenger was very classy in both the lead up and in victory, and Theo Walcott a bit patronising going in and signing shirts, but
he did shake everyone by the hand as well. I think that's pretty cool.
It's nice, it's classy, and he scored a goal, which is nice.
I think it is a little bit patronising, perhaps. If he was invited in, where they said there's lots of players
actively said, please don't come in. He goes, sorry, I'm going to come in and sign some shirts. Yeah. We don't want you to do that.
Is that his responsibility or the BBC director?
why are you defacing our property?
He came in just spewing like pie crust as he was just rampantly having five of them with his Premier League wages. He's going, they mean nothing to me. £17 I spent on these pies.
But the one thing they did fuck up at the coin toss, Sutton captain hands him a flag. Theo's got nothing.
Oh, really?
So he just... gets his Rolex and just hands it. I don't know. No,
gave him £3 for a pie and said nothing will come out of this. Nothing negative.
This must happen in a lot of Champions League qualifiers and stuff when you're the big star player and someone comes up to you and goes, do you want to swap shirts? And it must happen. They go, no, not with you.
You can have.
I'm going to swap it with them.
You can have mine, but I don't want yours.
I need someone to clean my car with.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? I've got some grouting to do. I've got to finish off those edges.
I'm amazed that we've managed to talk about 15 minutes worth of content around pies. It's quite incredible. Anyway, I want to talk about Burnley.
Come back after the break for 20 more minutes of pie-based action.
Next week we're launching our pie-based podcast.
Well, Matt, you're all about it, you know.
Two straight hours of short crust.
Good pie on foil? No, if only you had two syllables, that would be good.
Don't worry, you can come up with it after the break.
But yeah, Burnley. Right.
Burnley, yes. So, firstly, I don't really understand.
Good team on Piper!
Hey!
Yes!
I want to.
That does sound like we're molesting Billy Piper, though.
And on that note.
Good team on paper on FUBAR Radio.
Because normally we'd start doing like Stat Attack and Dream Team and stuff like that. I haven't got any ads loaded up.
So are we live?
Yes, we're back.
Oh, we're still live. Okay. So yeah, Burnley. Burnley.
Where is it?
It's in Northwest.
Lovely.
See, part of me doesn't quite understand why Burnley are in the Premier League anyway.
Oh. Whoa! Don't phone in, Burnley fans. Hashtag Mike's fault.
They won't. They're still on the.
They don't understand the internet. It's fine.
The Nokia 3310.
I've just fucked it up.
They've all got Nokia 3310s, is what you're
saying.
Well,
they're coming back.
Oh, I've seen that in the news, actually, yeah.
Anyway, some other Northern team beat Burnley.
Lincoln are not Northern.
I mean, you've given a big build-up to that.
Dear Lord.
You're so southern. But not Watford, it's fine.
You're so southern, it disgusts me.
Yep.
But they are the lowest-ranked team to reach this stage in 100-and-something years, aren't they?
That's a very good point, but I'd like to know Mike's thoughts.
Mike. Yeah.
So, Lincoln City, what are your thoughts on the match against Burnley?
I just love the Northern powerhouse, Lincoln City.
I thought it was very impressive that it's 108 years since another team like that has done that.
Who was the last one who did it?
103, sorry.
Yeah. Who was the last one who did it?
QPR, according to the piece of paper in front of me.
What does QPR stand for?
Queen's Park Rangers.
Whee!
Who are they owned by?
Some bloke.
That's correct.
That is actually true, yeah.
No, it's a woman. She's the chief executive.
Is it Delia Smith?
For all holding companies.
No, that's Norwich.
Okay. Apparently it was in 1913-1914, on round four.
But that wasn't this far.
Was it not? To reach the last eight, yeah.
So they must have changed the structure.
Yeah,
mind
the
you, back then, the Royal Marine Engineers won it, didn't they? And Bath and things like that.
Yeah. That was in a
Bath or a Bath.
But I'd like to.
Would be amazing. Okay.
Both. It was a tightly fought contest against the Royal Barbers of Lincolnshire. That was.
So I'd like to kind of bring something up. So last year we had Leicester win the champion
Premier League.
We did. Yeah.
Some league of
it's
our
called own. Fantasy Premier League, Mike.
Can I tell you an interesting fact about Leicester winning the Premier League?
Yeah, sure. Go on.
Not only did they win the Premier League,
yeah,
but they are currently shorter odds to retain their title than they were to win it at the start of last season.
Really?
That's a great fact.
Chelsea would
have
to lose.
Attack.
Well, actually, we're not in the stat attack bit.
Do a stat attack. It's out of left field.
Stat attack.
That's a great stat attack.
Chelsea would have to lose every single game for the rest of the season. Leicester win every single game, and they'd rely on a lot of other teams not doing very well at all. But they are still shorter odds.
What are you asking, Mike?
So I was just thinking that, so Lincoln have basically been the underdogs and beaten some team called Burnley. Yeah. And then you've got Leicester, who won the Premier League last year. Mm. Yeah. Is it the time for basically crappy underdog teams to just come through and destroy everyone?
Well, it's a nice way of describing Lincoln's achievement.
Yeah, crappy teams coming through and beating everyone.
I'm not winning here. Okay, fine. Really talented little team to come through and beat a Premier League side.
Given our performance against Radio 4's general podcast performance, yes, that is a little crappy team coming on.
I don't know. That is the romance of the cup, isn't it? Or it used to be when teams would put out their full 11.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because with all due respect to Sutton, they got bigged up for beating Leeds in the last round. They didn't beat Leeds. They beat the Leeds reserve team. Last night, they beat a very strong Arsenal side.
It was announced on the stadium announcer for the...
They lost to a very strong Arsenal side. But no, I'm talking about
Sutton.
The stadium announcer, though, for the Huddersfield match.
Huddersfield?
Actually, announced the
it's like
the
Huddersfield
team as,
and Cuddles.
Well, no, he announced it as the Huddersfield Reserves, which I thought was nice, a kind of frank admission from the stadium announcer going
rogue. You can't say Huddersfield, can you?
Huddersfield?
You just said Huddersfield twice.
Huddersfield?
Yeah!
Huddersfield. We've gone through my... there's been 23 episodes of this show and I haven't pronounced the name right yet. Yeah. So I'm not going to start. Isn't that right, Moak?
Anyway.
But no, it's an amazing achievement
by
Lincoln.
It's the best joke I've said.
It's an amazing achievement.
Can we give Lincoln a round of applause? I feel that they should...
Yeah.
In no way patronising. Well done, Lincoln.
And can we give Joey Barton a big fuck you? I hope you get banned for 10 games, you cheating piece of shit.
Fuck you. I hope you get banned for 10 games, you cheating piece of shit.
Tweet us back if you dare.
Yeah.
You talk about everything else. Why not a minor internet radio show and podcast?
With your cult philosophy.
At Fubar FC, hashtag GTO paper. Shall we hit a break? And
Well, no, let me just tell you what Joey Barton did, Michael.
Okay, fine. You tell us.
Because the last time we hit a break, it was a disaster. Right?
You got it lined up? How much do we have to stall?
I've got it, yes.
What Joey Barton did...
Hang on. What did he do?
What Joey Barton did... He... Bear in mind, this is a former England international who, if you believe what he's written about himself, was better than David Beckham.
Okay.
Right? And playing against players who are part-time and have jobs like plumbers and fishmongers and probably one of them sells vacuum cleaners to... old people.
Allegedly.
Probably.
That's what I was an innuendo.
Yeah. And rather than beat them with his immense skill, what he did was he tried to rip one of their face off.
Yeah.
Then he stamped on someone's foot. And then, after stamping on their foot, he ran round the back of them and headbutted their elbow so that he could fall down clutching his face.
Right.
What a pathetic piece of shit that man is.
It's not very sporting, is it?
He's the guy your sister goes out with and then she dumps him and then 2 years later he turns up outside carrying a knife with her name and face tattooed all over his body. He's covered in blood and you want him to go away.
I don't think that music's very appropriate anymore.
It is, it's very appropriate.
No, but thing is, Mike, you don't know about Joey Barton. What he literally is the man who put a cigar out on a youth team player's eye.
Don't say literally. Don't say literally. That's what football pundits do.
No, but that's what he literally did.
He didn't literally do it. We can go into the definition of literally.
He literally did it.
But when he actually did it, he didn't literally do it. He actually did it.
Right, you can talk about definitions after the break.
Good team on paper. On FUBAR Radio.
Winter is coming. And when winter comes, you know you're going to want a nice warm jumper. Sheep's wool is so 2015. You need llama wool. And if you need llamas, you need me, Carlton Palmer. Throughout my playing career for Sheffield Wednesday, Leeds United and England, I used to get cold on the bench thanks to poor quality British wool. Seeing me shake, Robbie Fowler directed me to his Peruvian connection. That didn't work out, but when I was in Peru, I learned about the wonderful warming qualities of llama wool. Now I've got a whole herd or pack or flock or whatever it is, and I'm the number one supplier of llama wool in the UK. So if you want to be warm, just call on me, Carlton Palmer. Llama Farmer.
FUBAR Radio is proud to be an official partner of Stand and Calling 2017. This year's festival is taking place from the 27th to the 30th of July, with a lineup which includes
Orbital, Clean Bandit, Slaves,
Akala,
Nadia Rose,
as well as DJ sets from
Mike Skinner and Merkage, Joe Goddard from Hot Chip,
and Faithless. FUBAR Radio will be bringing the hottest stand-up talent to the brand new comedy stage, featuring James Acaster. For more information and to buy tickets, go to www.standandcalling.com and keep listening to FUBAR Radio for exclusive offers and giveaways in the lead-up to this summer's big event. FUBAR Radio, an official partner of Stand and Calling.
You've seen it in the Sky Sports adverts. Now experience it in the flesh. The Premier League live in concert. John Motson will be conducting the London Philharmonic Orchestra with special guests Ian Wright on bassoon and Thierry Henry on double bass.
Hello, I'm John Motson, and I'm quite certain that the event in this marvellous stadium will not let them down.
Tickets are going fast. Book now for this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The Premier League, live, all this season at the O2. Due to popular demand, we've added extra dates. From this season, you'll be able to experience the magic of the Premier League live in concert on alternating Fridays and Mondays. Book your tickets now to see the Allens, Shearer and Hansen on percussion, alongside Jonathan Pearce on flute. Plus, on the 23rd of January, coming out of a 20-year retirement, Eric Cantona will be returning to the Premier League for a one-time-only performance of I Kicked a Boy and I Liked It.
Today, self-appointed Commissioner of Football wants to say thank you.
Tickets are flying out the stadium. Book now for this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The Premier League, live in concert, all this season.
Let it go. Let it go.
Next week, serialised in the Daily Mirror, the new autobiography from the Senegalese international who's taking the Premier League by storm. It's flying up the top seller list as fast as he flies up the wing. Yes, it's Mané on Mané, the real story of Sadio. It's a warts and all story as we show you the Mané behind the headlines. It's all about the Mané, Mané, Mané. It's all about the Mané, Mané, Mané. That's Mané in the Mirror on Monday.
Good team on paper. On FUBAR Radio.
I'd like to say that Rihanna has actually tweeted in using the hashtag GTO papers.
What is her favourite pie?
It's apple.
Ah. She went for a dessert pie. Idiot.
I did not see that coming.
You're not getting any protein from that, Rihanna.
You idiot.
Anyway.
Shine bread.
So... like a
unexpected
diamond.
Unexpected moment.
That is my Rihanna impression. I stand by it.
Anyway.
Rob is available for parties where he will turn up and do a 12-second impersonation of Rihanna.
Yeah, and if you ask me to do Umbrella, I'm leaving.
God, that Prosecco's awful.
His rider is the actual Rihanna.
That Prosecco's really awful.
Is it?
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the most middle-class radio show in history. These barbecue-flavoured popped potato chips.
Are they offended? No, you've got to give these gluten-free barbecue flavours.
Right, I'd like to say that we are live on FUBAR Radio. If you want to get involved, hashtag GTO paper.
You like saying things.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
What's that? Hashtag what?
Hashtag GTO paper or at FUBAR FC.
Hashtag sex machine.
Hashtag save pie.
Hashtag gas bag.
So.
Piegate.
Just imagine the studio at the moment. We've got Bundo in one corner, and we've got Deck in the middle, and we've got Rob to the far right. And we're about to do the biggest fight this station has ever seen. It's Gerrard versus Lampard.
Do you know what you can't say right now?
What's that?
Let's get ready to rumble! Because that is copyrighted.
Really?
Yeah. So, that guy owns it.
So FUBAR are actually going to have to pay money every time we say that.
What if we say, let's get ready to rumble! Yeah.
It's a good thing I didn't do any adverts.
Sorry, I'm
that.
Not sure I heard that.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Anyway, are you guys ready?
I believe that took all of Ant and Dec's money.
Yeah, we're ready to rumble.
Yeah.
That's why they're still doing it.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why Ant and Dec.
Presenting Frank Lampard, it's our football know-it-all, Rob. In the blue corner, representing Steven Gerrard, it's our statistician,
Bando.
The red corner.
What? Hang on, what?
You had one job to do, Mike, and what you've done there, my friend, is that Lampard plays in blue, the iconic man in red is Steven Gerrard. If those things aren't changed with the corners are in, I'm not taking part in the debate.
Right.
No,
that's
just,
loser
no,
talk.
No.
Keep him in.
No, go away.
Guys,
go away and do your job.
Okay, fine.
Lampard in the red room of pain.
Just talk amongst yourselves for a bit, okay?
All right.
Gerrard voting Tory, given he's come into a lot of money recently as a result of his successful career.
If I said more expensive prosecco once, I said it 1,000 times.
Two more minutes, guys.
Here's the thing that I think it's important to say up front to all the Man United fans when this debate first came up, who said, "What about Scholes?
Yeah.
Scholes is better than both of them." Well, if the debate was who's better, Lampard, Gerrard or Scholes, you might have had a point. But in a two-horse race, you can't pick a third horse. Who's better, Lampard or Gerrard? George Clooney, much better actor.
I'm ready.
In the red corner, representing Steven Gerrard, it's our chief statistician, Bundo. In the blue corner, representing Frank Lampard, it's our football know-it-all, Rob. Refereeing this battle to the death is our former fantasy football all-star, Deck. Mike, push the buttons. 3, 2, 1, fight!
Better.
Die, motherfucker!
I now accept taking part. I'm going to call out these two people who have commented on our Facebook video. I don't know whether they're listening or not. So Martin Wolfie Connolly, who I can imagine is a very good darts player.
Yeah, I'd imagine it's all about the darts.
Or actually a wolf.
Yeah, that would be amazing. But still somehow managed to develop a rudimentary opposing thumb. No, he could have been on the keyboard, not on a mobile. Yeah. Sorry, you're right, Deck. You're right. Because what did he say? Keen Scholes, Vieira, Alonso. Anyone? All better players.
Well,
it's a binary decision. It's a binary choice. 0 or 1.
And let's just quickly go through this. Keane, defensive midfielder, not a box-to-box midfielder.
Yeah.
Scholes, classic number 10, not a box-to-box midfielder in any way, shape or form because he can't tackle for shit.
Yeah.
Vieira, I will accept.
Alonso, iconically played alongside Gerrard.
Alonso was the midfield maestro.
The foil to Gerrard's
The only comparable player currently playing, I think, is Yaya.
I mean, thank you for getting involved and commenting on.
But
you also said bit in my humble opinion instead of but. But, you know, thanks for listening and please call again. whereas Dave Thorne...
His hair's all gone. It ain't really fair. Oh no, that's Willie Thorne.
His name is Dave Thorne. He's one of our own.
No, yeah, that's Willie Thorne from Sooka Loopy Nuts. Are we?
We're all
me and him and them and me.
Loopy.
We'll show you what we can do with a load of balls of Sooka. Q.
He's got simple. If you need a leader, then Gerrard. If you need a goal scoring, spelt with an E.
And he's missed an R.
Midfielder, then Lampard, lowercase. But as good as other, it instead of I'd say.
Well, so, Dave Thorne's going to be waiting outside to smack the shit out of
all
you.
All I'm saying
for
is
mocking him.
Valid points, not valid grammar.
Right, are you guys ready?
Please get involved on Facebook and Twitter, everybody.
Yeah.
With grammatical accuracy.
At FUBARFC on Twitter and Facebook and using the hashtag GTO paper.
If he tweets it, Ali, warn me, because I'll start running now.
And also, if you want to use the hashtag Gerrard versus Lampard as well.
I'm obviously umpiring this shit show, and unfortunately, I wasn't given
any general, this shit show? It's been 23 episodes.
I've requested some kind of whistle, but I wasn't given one. So if anything really kicks off, I'm going to shout shit weasel very loudly.
Nice. I'm going to wet my whistle with this pure quality.
So we haven't really discussed how we're going to do this. So basically, I've decided that we're going to do 3 rounds and... I don't really know what's going to happen next. And then we're going to... You're each going to have 40 seconds, which is the outro music to this, so you actually kind of know where...
Whoa, there's a time limit?
Yeah, why not? And then
what?
You can fight
I've
to the
death. I've got 4 pages of notes here!
I've got 8!
I've got Steven Gerrard and Frank Lampard just underneath me.
What's this bullshit about time limits?
Well, how about you can have...
I'm outraged!
We've got
from
22 minutes to film!
How about you can have 40 seconds each as opening arguments and then fight to the death?
So, no.
I haven't prepared notes for that.
What we're going to do is that there's a stats round where we go head-to-head with stats.
We really should have had a pre-production discussion.
What there is there's a stats round and then there's a notes for emotional reaction to the players and then there is a closing argument. That's what would happen. So the opening statement is stats-based. I won't have any
easily have an opening salvo. Lampard's better.
Gerrard's better.
That makes it sound like Stephen Gerrard's not been very well.
Okay. Say that again, and then we'll hit round one. Rob.
Frank Lampard is the superior player.
Bundo.
I disagree. Stephen Gerrard is the superior player.
You disagree with your own statement.
Okay.
Round one.
I've been hoisted by my own baton. This is beautiful. Right, so you start off with your stats.
Okay. Well, let's just have a look at the fact that he's the highest scoring midfielder in the history of the Premier League with 177.
Let's play the fight music.
Premier League goals. That'll make it nice and hard for you to cut to, Ali. So he's fourth on the all-time list of Premier League goal scorers. 177 goals, and contrary to what you might think, only 30 something of those have come from penalties.
Oh, God. Did you read that off the printer?
No, I am capable of researching myself.
Is a quite significant difference in that 43 of Lampard's goals have been penalties, but only 29 for Gerrard. So there is a skew there.
Well, I tell you what else is different is that Frank Lampard, to my recollection, didn't actually dive to win any of those penalties, unlike your boy. Moving on.
It's a low blow.
He was the free kick taker of choice for a Chelsea side rife with high quality free kick takers. He had a shooting accuracy, if the Premier League website is correct, of 36%, which is remarkable.
It's not when correct he had to 36.7, but I'll let you off.
When he had 100 billion shots.
Based on my analysis.
His passing accuracy was remarkable. His through ball accuracy was remarkable. His discipline was remarkable. In 600 and odd games, he got 59 yellow cards and only 2 red. Statistically, there is not a single area where Stephen Gerrard can compete.
When you say remarkable, obviously the meaning of that word is that it's worthy of remark.
Which I just did.
Not that it's ipso
facto.
Not that it's superior in any way. It was remarkable in that I could comment on Luke Chadwick's record, because that would be a remark about it, not that it's better.
When you resort to tedium at stage one,
you realise there's no argument.
I think you will bore me out of the conversation.
This is a university level debate, isn't it? This is a sixth form debating society.
Just a quick update from Facebook. Nick Pope is online.
Is he? Good. Can we reply to Nick Pope?
Well, he's online with Skype, so we could just Skype him in. Nick, what do you think?
What's your favourite pie? So is that all, those are all your stats? That's what you got?
No, well, I've got he played for 15 years. I've got a ton of stats, but they are the select few I chose to go for.
Okay, can I go with my stats then,
you go,
Mike?
For it.
And Deck, sorry.
I mean, this is obviously his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you're looking at the stats about these players, what you want to be looking about is a differential that they made to their team, the difference that they made. So obviously there are differing qualities of teams around them, and you've got to take that into account when you're looking at the stats. So as an example, a very crude example, they both won the Champions League, but the teams that they played in the final, Gerrard's team was worth 40.35 million. Chelsea's team was worth 104.1 million. So you're looking at a thing where it'd say that that's the greatest achievement Champions League's win. As an example, that shows that Gerrard was an exceptional player within a very cheap and in many ways underskilled team.
Well, what's your price inflation ratio that you're applying to that to actually equate one team to another? Because the market changed quite dramatically between 2005 and 2000, and when was it?
I've got an answer for that, in that it's done by OptiStats, and they have actually allowed for a coefficient. And also within that, they have allowed for players who came from the academy system, such as Gerrard, in assigning a relevant value for that player in the modern market.
For what it's worth, I don't actually think either of their Champions League medals are worth shit, because neither of them won the game.
Okay, interesting.
They won the tie.
So,
but if you're never ahead in a match, you can't win it.
Let me give you another example. So we're looking at the effect that they've personally had on games. So this is also an OptiStats article that we're looking for. Stats. I've slightly modified the argument based on my own research. But without Lampard...
Fake news.
Chelsea... so if they had taken Lampard out with all of the goals and assists that he has made and the points that those generated are, Chelsea would have been worse off by an average of 3.5 points per season when he was playing. Whereas Gerrard... the effect that he would have on Liverpool is that they were 3.6 points per season worse. So that's a whole 0.1 point different per season than he would have been.
Okay, so they're practically identical in that
regard. I'm tempted to rest my case with that 0.1, but I won't. I'll,
with a 0.1.
Well, shall I tell you what will sort of like bugger you over a little bit is that there was one season where... Frank Lampard's Chelsea won the league by a single point. Therefore, Frank Lampard, by your stats, was the difference between Chelsea winning the league and not winning the league.
But if Liverpool had been 3.5 points behind, then that extra 0.1 would have taken them to the title, even with Igor Biscan.
Okay, but it was 2010.
Yep.
And, so 2010... Chelsea won the league by a single point. You have said just now Frank Lampard was worth 3.6 points.
3.5, Gerrard is 3.6.
Ergo, Frank Lampard won the league for Chelsea.
Interesting. Boom.
Interesting.
That's where I've taken your stat and oiled it, right?
And put it
asked
right
you to
up
bend over.
That is an interesting twist on it.
And you'll never walk alone.
We'll let the judge decide.
Not with that, you, Jaxi.
I've got another point of argument for you. So I would say that because they're playing in such different teams domestically, that internationally their performance is a fair cop, isn't it? You know, they're playing in roughly the same team. You know, they weren't in a Carlton Palmer era team where there was fluctuations of quality so much. And if you look at that, England won 61% of their games in which Gerrard was playing and Lampard was not. They only won 51% of the games when Lampard was playing and Gerrard was not. So empirically, they win more games as a percentage with Gerrard in rather than Lampard. They're playing in nominally the same position. So that means that when Gerrard is in Lampard's place, they win more of a percentage of games.
Against Luxembourg, Andorra, San Marino, the list goes on.
It's averaging out in a quality of opposition.
Are they friendlies? Are they at major
it's
tournaments?
Averaging out because they've both got a rough number of friendlies.
Yeah, no, I agree.
We've had a listener email.
Really?
Shut up.
Is it Stephen Gerrard egging me on, going, come on, lads?
Is it a member of the Bundy family?
Oh. Funnily enough, yes it is.
Ah, who is it?
Gary Bundy.
Hey, Gary! How are you doing?
He's basically just written, I don't remember Lampard doing this. And it's Gerrard gets a 3-game ban from BBC Sport.
And look, what he's trying to do there is guarantee that Gary Naismith of Everton never has kids.
Which I think is
going
another reason.
Two-footed on Gary Naismith's nuts.
And that's another reason why you should win the poll, given Gary Naismith's general standard.
Gary Bundy has sent in a photograph of somebody, clearly Stephen Gerrard, dressed in a Liverpool kit, kicking someone who's in a blue kit. His ability to make a case is pretty good. He could also have sent in somebody assassinating JFK and saying, I don't remember somebody else doing this. That's effectively what he's just done.
That's true.
Case closed.
I've got one final point.
Stephen Gerrard's ridiculously poor disciplinary record?
It is not, but we're going to come back at that, and there are two different ways to cut that when we get to it. So, we're looking at an overall vote by his peers. You know, how has Gerrard been voted by his peers and also by journalists and also by fans? So that's given a kind of... We're going a little bit more into the realms of emotion here. You know, I've given some views based on stats. So in the PFA Team of the Year, just as an example, Gerrard has appeared 8 times. Yeah. Frank Lampard appeared 5 times. The Stephen Gerrard was a 2-time winner of PFA's Fans Player of the Year. Lampard was only 1. If you look at FIFA, obviously a respectable source of information, that Stephen Gerrard appeared 3 times in the FIFA Pro World 11, Lampard only once. Interestingly, Paul Scholes never. which might show some of its inaccuracy, but I'm not going to undermine my own argument by going into that. I could go on and go on and on in the general view of voted for by his peers, which takes into account stats as the FIFA Pro World does, but also has a little bit of emotion in there, which we'll come on to. Gerrard, in every measure, is the person who has been voted for the most.
There is absolutely no question that Gerrard had a bigger impact on Liverpool than Lampard had on Chelsea. There's no question about that.
I would like that observed by the court, Exhibit A.
I'm not questioning that. But what I am questioning is it that big a deal to have that big an impact on a team that never wins the league?
Yes, because we're not talking between whether Chelsea or Liverpool are the best teams. We're talking about these are the individual players.
And at that point, Dec, how are you feeling at the moment? How are you feeling about this refereed situation?
Stunned.
Yeah, it's been pretty intense so far.
Yeah.
It's been real.
I mean, we're losing listeners by the tens.
Sorry, Tom.
Are we ready for round two?
Yeah, there's only two members of the Bundy family still listening.
Because we've got to crack on. So,
round two.
Which is the emotional side of it. We've done the stats. Now it's about how you feel about the stats. You know, like Donald Trump was trying to emote people.
Can I suggest Rob first?
Okay, so I'm going to have to be quick because we're running out of time. But there was a BBC documentary a while ago, Being Steven Gerrard or Living in Steven Gerrard's Face or something like that. And I hated it because it made me like him because he came across as a nice guy and I've always thought he's a massive tit.
Exhibit B.
But here's the thing. There is a list as long as this arm. I've got a very long arm. Of his crimes, and I'm going to call them crimes. Just in the Merseyside derby alone could probably have been sent off half a dozen times, and he was sent off three times. I think he nearly took Gravesen's leg off at the knee because
Exhibit C.
Because
note it.
Because when someone's playing better than him, he kicks them. Frank Lampard never did that. Frank Lampard. Don't get me wrong, I'm sure he did a few dodgy tackles in his time.
Balls.
But Frank Lampard played the game according to the rules. Steven Gerrard dived a lot in his career. Sheffield United is a perfect example. He bullied referees, which I do not like. If he'd been sent off as many times as he should have been, his disciplinary record would look awful.
Just loved by officials and fans, can't send him off. Be a riot.
And despite his one club nature, despite the fact that I have no doubt he was dedicated to England, on the pitch, he was an incredibly selfish player. He would shoot from 30 yards rather than play someone in. He would try a 90-yard pass that he simply wasn't capable of because it's Steven Gerrard, Mr. Hollywood, and he was not as good as he thought he was. And the thing is, Frank Lampard didn't do those things.
He knew how bad he was.
No, he knew what he could do, and he stuck to doing that. That's why his statistics of shots to goals is better. That's why his goal tally is better. That's why his passing accuracy is better, because he did the best thing for the team, not the best thing for Frank Lampard. Over to you,
bloody
bitch.
Hell. I tell you what, Dec, I haven't died on my arse like that since 2012's Angel Comedy Night.
Very niche ref.
That is a niche ref. So, we're talking about emotion and just a few little moments that touched me to my heart. So obviously in the Champions League final, probably one of the most emotional games.
Oh yeah,
ever,
I know what you're thinking. When he oversaw them going 3-0 down in the first half and then begged his German mate to come on and actually shore up the midfield.
He scored,
was woefully inadequate.
He
in.
Scored the when
no,
they were 3-0
no,
down.
You, he don't scored, need, you don't need to say any more. I get it. They were so outplayed in that first half. It could have been 8.
He scored the first goal that gave Liverpool hope. He won the penalty that led directly to Alonso's equaliser and had a key role for the whole game.
Won or died?
So he also had his late, he had his late goal against Olympiakos, which I remember watching.
He
at
shouldn't
a pub
have been on
uni.
The pitch for it. He kicked an Olympiakos player in the hip and
he
should have been sent off.
In the FA Cup final against West Ham, when he was playing on one leg, it's actually known as the Gerrard Cup final. Where's the Lampard
Cup? It's not known as
Where's the Lampard Cup
It might
final?
Be known as the Gerrard
it
Cup
is on Wikipedia.
Final.
It is on Wikipedia.
Written by some fucking sicker fantic Liverpool fan. Jesus Christ. How about the cheating Liverpool Cup final?
He also was the key figure in beating Lampard's Chelsea in two Champions League semi-finals. So that was 2005 and 2007.
So you can't just say the key figure and leave it hanging like that. Where's your evidence?
So he was also
because some would argue that it was the referee giving a goal that had never crossed the line that was the key figure in one of those.
He was also most loved by the fans in the MLS when he went there, in that he was the fifth biggest seller of shirts, whereas Lampard was only the ninth, showing the general global fanship of
that,
him.
That sound you can hear is Bundo scraping a barrel.
He was also loved by global brands, being his net wealth was calculated at 42 million versus Lampard's 39 million. I'd also probably posture that the fact that he only has one haircut, showing he has a dedication to local business in the Merseyside area.
Oh, I'm on the verge of conceding.
I think it's the fact that Lampard has once worn trainers with a blazer and formal trousers, whereas Gerrard has only ever worn a Liverpool shirt or a training kit, a Liverpool suit, or his bare chest as he's involved in a nightclub argument based on the Mafia.
Yeah, that's the thing. Would you argue that Frank Lampard has ever knotted someone for Phil Collins?
Okay.
His emotional impact is less because of that.
Deck, you've got a lot to think about.
I have. It's very tense at the moment. Both sides have done a great job, and at the moment, Rob is on 0 points.
Yes.
And Bundo is on 0 points.
Ah!
So, all to play for.
Let the Twitter poll decide.
We'll come back after the break.
Good team on paper. On FUBAR Radio.
Hi, I'm former American footballer Landon Donovan. That is, I'm an American who played football. I didn't play American football. Well, I did at high school. Hang on, let's start again. Hi, I'm former US soccer star Landon Donovan. You might remember me from my two successful loan spells at Everton, where I was named Player of the Month in January 2010. During my time in England, I fell in love with your cuisine. Most notably, your kebabs. Delicious bread, spicy sauce, and suspicious meat. They're amazing. That's why I brought my own mobile take on England's national dish to your great capital. If you're hungry, why not get a kebab from Landon Donovan's London Donovan? And just like I said to Yakubu and Louis Saha when I arrived at Everton, I'm here to assist you.
Good team on paper. On FUBAR Radio.
Deck, he's got a decision.
Deck, have you got a decision?
But bear in mind, Deck, I gave you that pie.
He said nil-nil. And
we're
going to
do it very quickly in 10 seconds.
We'll let the listeners decide.
What's your answer to 9/11?
I think it was a black hat, false flag.
I mean, specifically Lampard's behaviour around 9/11.
Oh, yeah, cowardly.
Okay. Bundo, Gerard's behaviour on nights out where he arguably decks people and punches them for listening to Phil Collins.
Exemplary, and they get what they deserve.
And it was not listening.
And also, he thought, and when 9/11 came in, he said, well, this will lead to Trump. Let's act against it.
Oh, listeners, make news. Your own minds up. Tweet us on Good Team on Paper.
Oh, it's a cliffhanger. I tell you what, the thing about that, Mike, is that football and the English language were the winner.
Yeah! Oh, dear Lord, we all lost.
Right, we've got 3 minutes for predictions for next week. So,
transfer in Mane for a start.
So,
just do that.
One thing to just mention in passing, I mentioned it last week, but there are no games this week. It's a blank game week for Arsenal, Man United, Man City, and Southampton. If anybody's got any players from those teams, then for God's sake, get them on the bench or get them out. At this point, obviously, you should have been saving up the two transfers. You shouldn't be just on the one. You should have saved it up from last week. If you haven't, consider playing your wild card. because you can get them out now. Although perhaps, Deck, I think it was you both know, maybe you save it for the double game week when teams are going to be playing two. So those teams are going to come back and have a bumper game week. I would imagine that, for example, Ibrahimovic in that double game week would be a must have and maybe worth doing that transfer for.
What a must have.
Game week 27 after that is normal, but bear in mind that in game week 28 there are only five fixtures. So you need to be starting, listeners, to think ahead. This is the point where being good at the stats becomes better than the pin-sticking approach that people have had before.
Think ahead. Take tonight's show as evidence that you need to think ahead.
You need to think about the material you've got at your disposal. Yeah.
All right, let's get on with...
Goalfest.
I'm going for Leicester versus Liverpool. I think that's got goals, goals, goals galore.
Say Mane would have an absolute feast against that Leicester defence.
Well, and I think Jamie Vardy will have a fairly decent time against the Liverpool defence.
That's very fair. Mm-hmm. Pace against...
And Riyad Mahrez as well.
All of them. Why not? Get involved.
What about Deck? Where are you at with the Goalfest?
Goalfest, exactly that. Liverpool, Leicester. But I think everyone needs to buy three Everton players immediately because their run over the next four games is incredible. It's all about the next four game weeks, as Bundo just said.
All right.
This
what
is
about
where the decision is going to be. This is where it's going to be.
What about a
snooze fest?
If Crystal Palace and Middlesbrough were playing at the bottom of my garden, I'd kill myself.
I wouldn't stop mowing the lawn to look up. That would be the main thing.
Bundo, where are you at?
No, absolutely with that. Like, a garden gnome would pray to move so it could walk away from it.
You'd close the curtains.
Deck, what about you?
Hull Burnley with no suicide.
All right, that is your lot. Thank you very much for listening to Good Team on Paper. This has been FUBAR Radio. I've been Mike Swain.
I've been Frank Lampard.
I've been Gary Bundy.
I've been delightful.
Hey!